Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 27 of 150. Adios, Vegas. The lead up. Last you heard, I had the inevitable setback. I'd been running good for a while, getting a little bit too overserved before sessions and during sessions, and I was playing too spewy, but it didn't matter. I was not getting punished. And then on the night, the previous session, I started shorthanded. I was running over the game, and then I got moved to a full ring game, and I did not adjust. I ran over the game in the first hand. I ran a huge bluff. And I didn't adjust. And then I started running into it, and I started whiffing, and I lost with aces to kings. And yeah, I had the inevitable setback, a huge loss for my minuscule bankroll. It was around 6 a.m. on Thursday, March 10th, when I racked up, cashed out, and wondered, where the fuck is Uber at Bellagio again? I asked someone, they pointed in a direction, and I stumbled there. And interestingly enough, you get Uber on your phone, but the service on your phone isn't good down wherever you get the Uber. Anyways, I got picked up, and it was this young woman with long eyelashes playing hip-hop, like sexy hip-hop. It's always interesting when you get in there and they're playing, like, you know, provocative music. And anyways, she was cool. We talked COVID because we're both COVID experts. And she dropped me off at my new spot in Vegas. Well, my girlfriend's new spot. And I'd been there for the first time. I'd stay there for the first time. And I wasn't going to be staying there not very often. And yeah. Anyways, I got inside and I had some meat that she had bought me. And I ate it. I raged, ate it. I was tilted. I had the inevitable setback. And not only was I tilted, but I felt low. Yeah, and so I slept like shit. And then I woke up, and my stomach exploded. And then I slept better. I woke up again, and I felt low, man. Fucking low, down in my cycle. And that's going to happen. The thing about drinking and playing, which I've done, I don't even want to know how many sessions I've... I mean, way more sessions than I've played sober. And my win rate is good when I drink. And you never question after wins. And I've won a lot of money drinking. But every single time you lose, you feel extra guilt because you were drinking. And it's irrational, especially if you have a spreadsheet to tell you. You were going to lose no matter what. But it doesn't matter. We're all irrational in different ways. And I always feel low after a loss, and I really did. And then I was kind of worn out, too. And then I got my birthday present from my girlfriend, some Gucci shades that I'm going to wear when I start playing on stream. Because I've always been anonymous, and obviously you can't be on stream and be totally anonymous, but you can wear shades, and then no one can really see what you look like. I don't know. That's what I want to do for a while. And then I did my favorite thing, and longtime session listeners know what that is. And voila, I wasn't back up. My mood wasn't all the way back up, but I was ready to turn the page on that fucking session. I had already decided I was not going to play on this night. I wasn't feeling good. I was feeling low. And then got my birthday present, did my favorite thing. And you know what? I'm going to put in a session tonight because I got to put in a session. And I want to get some rest. I want to get a session, then drive back to San Diego and get some rest before I start playing on stake, which means bigger games. And yeah, so my bankroll after the inevitable setback was $3,000. So I put it in my jacket, the one I was going to be wearing on this night. And how was it only $3,000 when I've been winning all year long? Life's fucking expensive. Even with all the streams of income that I have, it's very expensive. I can never afford to lose. I can never afford to have a setback. That's the way it's been for years. It's stressful. I got some gray hair. I got a lot of gray hair. And that's, I don't know. I'm also 48, so who knows? Might have been there anyways. And I had to work on my steak, getting it together, collecting from people. And then I wrote. And that always makes me feel better. And drank coffee. And I was caught up at 4:52 p.m. And it's time to get ready to take a long time, incredibly loyal, incredibly generous patron out. And that's Irie Guy. And then take him out to sushi with my girlfriend. And I'm thinking I'm going to miss him and his day one, who I disc golf with. I'm going to miss my day one. I'm going to miss David. I'm going to miss the princess, of course, but I'm going to see her a lot in Los Angeles. That's where I'm going to be. All the times I was in Vegas before, I'm going to be in Los Angeles now. I'm going to miss Caramel. Yeah, at Played Against Sam's. I'm going to miss SD Jen, Party Rye, Persuadio, Riddy, Derek, P-Man, Nosferatu, Marley, Brad Owen, and I'm going to stop. And if I didn't list you and I see you in Vegas, it's not because I'm not going to miss you. It's because I never sleep. So I just miss basic stuff sometimes when I'm doing my notes, and it's the way it goes. That's the story. And I was still writing on this Thursday night. I'm writing. I'm going to leave Vegas tomorrow, and I won't be back for a while because I can't. I set up my grind in L.A., and my grind was in Vegas before. It's been moved to L.A. It's the way out for me. It's finally, after hitting rock bottom in 2017, 5 fucking years later, there's plenty of light at the end of the tunnel, and it's in L.A. It's at the Hustler Casino, and yeah, it's commentating, it's playing on stream, and it all goes coincides with this podcast, and yeah, and my kids are in San Diego, and I'm always going to see them, you know, every about half a week, every week, and so it's tough. I love Vegas. I really love Vegas. I hope when my life slows down to spend more time there. It's just such a, it's the least judgmental place I've ever been, and it's just, you can really live your life, obviously. It doesn't matter what hour it is. You can do whatever you want. It's a very freeing place, a very diverse place. And, you know, it has darkness and all that. But, yeah, so, I don't know. It's tough. I'm going to miss it. But you know what? Life's tough. And it was 4:53 p.m. I was caught up at 4:52 p.m. and I wrote that bullshit. It was 4:53 p.m. and I wrote, I better close this laptop and take a shower. And I did. I took a shower, and when I was getting dressed, I cracked a Guinness. You know, you drank all night the night before and you spewed it off at the Bellagio. Well, you need to get that equilibrium back. So on the ride to the strip, you know, you need to have a beer. And when I cracked the Guinness, I thought of Telos, longtime patron, philosopher. I've interviewed him. I think that was season 3, those interviews with Telos. They were really good. Maybe, yeah, I think I did one in season 4 as well. And anyways, I just thought of him, and I have this nice bottle opener that looks like a dagger. And I thought of Lisa S., another patron who sent me that. And I tried to message that in Slack, one of the platforms of DGAF community, and I don't know, I had internet issues, so it didn't go through, but I was thinking of those two people, and that, my mood's even getting higher now, right? So, and we met Irie Guy at our new sushi spot. It's called You or Me. We were introduced to this place by Persuadio, another patron, and it was expensive as fuck on this night. And I'm thinking maybe when he took us there, it was happy hour or something. But it was good, but just so expensive. And I wanted to pick up this tab. It's good luck to pick up the tab if you didn't know. And so said goodbye to Irie Guy. And me and the princess, my girlfriend, started heading to Resorts World. And I just checked my email. And I check email, text, Twitter, Slack, the community forum, just so many different platforms all the time. And there was an email from Nick Rose. And if you listen to the end of season 4 of Sessions, there was a gentleman who really wanted it to go into season 5. I said, I'm coming up this year no matter what in 2022. And so far I've been living up to that. And I said, I want to document it, but if I don't hit these points on the scoreboard, I can't justify it. And this guy bought 100 shirts that said, it's just a story. And that was a pretty big moment towards the climax of season 4. And I forgot that this guy was going to be in town. He had emailed me it, and I said, cool, well, hit me up. Maybe, you know, we'll have some beers or whatever. But the way my life, the pace at which I'm living my life, like I'm recording right now on St. Patrick's Day at 10:04 p.m. And I've been doing shit all day. I'm going to do shit after this. And I played poker late last night, and I'm going to be, parenting and working. And I just forget shit. I'm just starting to unravel a little bit, and just no way I can keep up with who's going to be in what town anywhere. Anyways, so I was very happy that I checked my email and remembered, and I said, oh shit, let's have some beers. Where are you at? And he said, Ellis Island. I said, okay, we'll pick you up. You know, we'll take you to Resorts World. And I'm thinking, you know what? Ellis Island has that really good karaoke bar. It's just really fun, good vibe. And I said, we'll just meet you in there. And he said, okay, cool. And I got in there, and my girlfriend, the princess, needed to grind some slot machines. She knows. She has insight into when she's a little stressed out. And yeah, just go grind slot machine for a little bit. You'll feel better. Well, so what? It's like, you know, people say, well, you're minus the EV at a slot machine. Well, it's just like therapeutic for her. And, you know, just whatever you're paying a little bit to relax. And so what? And I got in there, and they hadn't even started the night yet at the karaoke bar at Ellis Island, and it kind of smelled like vomit, and whatever. They dimmed the lights and put some music on, or the first song, and I saw this gentleman with two beers and a Diet Pepsi, and I just kind of looked at him. I said, is this my man? I had no idea what he looked like. It was him. It was Nick Rose from the UK, visiting Las Vegas. He's a financial trader of some sort, and so what's up, man? Come on over here. Let's start drinking. And we did. We drank those beers he got, and then we drank more beers and cocktails. And Princess came back from the slot machine, and it was eventually time to leave the karaoke bar at Ellis Island. Said, hey, man, you want to go with us to Resorts World? I gotta play a session. And he said, cool, I'll go there. I said, cool, we'll go to the doghouse, and we'll have a beer there. And, you know, you say you're going to have a beer before you play. We're going to have more than that. But anyways, it was cool, you know, doghouse, there's some music going on, and, you know, we're having some drinks, and, Princess goes to get us tacos at this, I think it was called Tacos El, not Carbon, but Cabron. I think it was outside of Resorts World, and I know she was in line for a long time, and she brought them back to us, and doghouse was closing, and you know, we weren't ready for the session yet. No, we need to have a few more drinks. It's kindred spirits from across the pond, or you know, two sides of the pond. And so yeah, let's go to the Circle Bar. And the Circle Bar, you know, is in kind of the middle of the casino, and it's a circle, and that's always where the most hookers are. And so it's good, like, ambiance. It is. I think that's good ambiance. And Princess brought us those tacos and got some more drinks. The tacos were great, by the way. Tacos El Cabron, I think it was. And then it was finally time to play some poker. And you might be wondering, like, I said that the session before, the night before, was the inevitable setback. I had been going into sessions a little too overserved with this combustible energy of just drinking too fast and being too impatient and kind of needing a blow up, a kind of needing a setback, which for some of you makes no sense. And for some of you, like, I know that shit. I know that self-destructive shit, that cycle, that vicious cycle. Well, on this night, I didn't have that. I had better energy. Even though we were drinking the whole time, I was drinking slower, right? And I just needed to decompress. I just work so much that when I can, I need to decompress. And so when it was time to go play poker, I knew I was buzzed, but I felt different. I felt, you know, like I'm going to win. You know, case money shit. The night before, you can afford to lose. And then you lose, and now you can't. And now you're going to have different energy. And so I had 3K in that jacket that I wore. But also the game I'm going to play is kind of big. The game that I'm going to be playing is kind of big. So my day one's in it. And I said, you want half of me? And he said, yep. I said, I got 3K. Give me 3K. I'll fire 3 2K bullets. It's 5, 10, 20. And yeah, so let me take a sip of my Wild Cherry Diet Pepsi. I'll tell you about the session. The session. So I'm in my new spot in San Diego. I mentioned it's St. Patrick's Day. I had no idea it was St. Patrick's Day today, but it is. And I didn't watch one March Madness thing. I didn't get a bracket in, nothing. I have no idea what's going on in the world. I'm just barely keeping up with my grind. And it feels like I'll get there soon to where like it starts to slow down a tiny bit. And I can start playing better poker and producing better content and whatever. But I'm just telling the story for now. And yeah. And so hopefully you guys like the new. I have a shirt on top of my little recording studio. Basically, I have a desktop recording studio, microphone, pop blocker, little Nerf thing over it. And this little soundproof thing that wraps around the mic. And I put a shirt over it. I don't think the echo's too bad since I've done this. Anyways, it's around midnight on the border of Thursday, March 10th and Friday, March 11th, 2022. I sat down in a 5-10-20 half and half game at Resorts World. Half PLO, half No Limit. And I'm going to start with a roll call. It's been a while. Why not? Seat one is Krish, who plays on Hustler Casino Live and High Stakes Poker. And he is sitting with more than I can count on this night. He covers the table. And seat two is a reg that looks drunk. Looks like goofy, happy, drunk. Good for him. Seat three is English Pro number one. Just a really nice English Pro. Seat four is English Pro number two. Another really nice English Pro. Seat five is my day one, a Las Vegas Pro. Seat six is the awesome Rec, just a really awesome recreational player. And seat seven is your protagonist, Dragon Man. And seat eight is Boss Lady. And that's just, this woman's retired and she's younger than me. I don't know, maybe she's 40, I don't know, but she's retired and she's sitting deep. And so we're playing eight-handed, that's what they do there, okay? And they're doing bomb pots, PLO bomb pots with double boards. Okay, great. This is perfect for someone on case money, right? That doesn't play PLO and has never done a double board before. But luckily, I adapt pretty quickly to changes. I'm not a studied player. I don't study. They talk about field players and, oh, you use a field player. Ha ha. Yeah, I'm a fucking field player. Come find me. Play me. So it's going to be when you're doing something new, if you rely on memorization, you're fucked, right? Well, if you just always rely on taking all the variables and using deductive reasoning and whatever else and you know, reading what's going on, it's not the end of the world that I've never done a double board PLO bomb pot before. And I had flopped two pair and I folded that shit and I was so proud of myself. And now it's No Limit Hold'em and it's 5-10-20. I have 7-6 of hearts. I open to $60, and the awesome Rec defends the 20 on my right. It comes 4-deuce-deuce and 2 hearts, and I bet 80, thinking I'm going to have to bet. This day and age, no one's folding on this flop anything. I bet 80, thinking I'm going to have to bet again. He folds, and that's part of being an awesome Rec. And so that's, you know, it's just a nice, okay start. I'm probably about even, right, because I lost. I think the bomb pots are 50 and I want 60 here. Who cares? And then I had to fold pocket nines pre. And that's insane. You know why? Because I would have flopped. Nothing right. Yeah, that's right, Kanye. Thank you. How do you like this new spot in San Diego? It's not bad, huh? All right. So here's how I had to fold the nines pre. Krish limped. Okay, and my day one went to $100, and this is Nolan Hold'em, and the awesome rec went to 420 in the small blind, and I was the big blind with two nines. I had to fold, and Chris called, my day one called, and my day one won with queen jack on ace, queen, XXXX, and I wrote, oh, it's this kind of game, and that's a really juicy fucking game where people are gambling the way poker used to be. This kind of reminds me of how it used to be. It's fun, and it was a lot of gamble, and you can play kind of well. I play it kind of well. You better be funny. You better be smiling. You better be drinking. You better be gambling a little bit. And that's kind of what I was doing. And then Nick Rose shows up, kind of like when Mike McDee's in that postal worker game and Worm's supposed to be bowling and he shows up, but not really. I thought, so Nick Rose is a trader. He trades stocks, I believe, and he plays poker for fun. He does everything for fun. He's a very enlightened individual. He just does stuff for fun. And so I thought he was going to play 1-3. And no, he wants to play in this game. And there's no seat. It's eight-handed. We're full. And he's being hilarious. And the table, I think it was the two English pros are like, I guess we just make it nine-handed for this guy. Because you can just tell when someone's funny and going to be action and, you know, been drinking and all that. And so the three seat slides down to the four seat. We go nine-handed and welcome Nick Rose to the three seat of this 5-10-20 half and half game. Half no limit, half PLO with $50 PLO double board bomb pots. And it's clear that this gentleman from across the pond has been overserved. Like, it's clear that I have, but it's clear that he's been really overserved. And he's still holding it together. It's just, you can just tell he's going to be bluffing a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, English Pro number two opens to $60. It folds around to Nick Rose, who's the 20, and he three bets, and the English Pro folds. And I can't imagine opening early position to 60 and folding. It was like 220, folding in position 220 from a guy who just made this entrance. He just showed up and said a bunch of funny shit, and he said, I'm partying and whatever, and you made it nine-handed for him, and you open. It's just, it was a little mind-blowing to me. And that is the difference between memorization and feel. Like, well, I'll be like, I'm not folding. I'm not opening anything bad, and I'm not folding anything in position because I could just win all the money right here. This guy is going to be action. And I don't know. I'm not trying to diss English Pro number two. It's just, you know, what happened. And I'm just relaying what happened. It's what I do. Okay. So next one is card dead and sick game. And it was sick. And I'm just card dead. And you can't do anything when you're card dead in a sick game. Sometimes it's fun to play in games where people are sitting too deep and they're weak and they have no fucking heart. And you can just run over the table with overbets and elaborate lines. This is the opposite. You just have to play value hands. You're just not going to be doing hardly any bluffing. And so if you're card dead, you just keep folding. And my man, Nick Rose, did something that I liked a lot. It was time for a round of PLO, and he said, no, we're not playing PLO. It's too confusing. And he's been drinking, and he's providing all the action. And guess what? If you're drinking a lot, providing all the action and the entertainment, which he was, you call the shots. And I think some people wanted to play PLO, and they're like, okay, you know, you're the shot caller now. All right, it's only no limit. Okay, that's good. That's going to help me out a lot because I'm pretty good at no limit, and it's easier to look at two cards than four when you're having drinks. And it's time for my worst play. However, let me take a sip. So my day one kind of organizes these games, 5, 10, 20. And, you know, it probably started out as no limit. Some people wanted to play half and half. And then people wanted to do bomb pots. And they drink. This is how you have a good game. If you don't do this shit, it turns into grinder fest. And another thing they do is they draw two cards at the start of each session. And it's 2 through 9. And whatever it is, that's the bounty hand. And so on this night, it was 6-4. If you win with 6-4, everyone pays you $40. Okay, keep that in mind. So in a nine-handed game, you're going to get 320 more, right? Okay, well, here's my worst play. I have 6-4 hearts. Nick Rose raises at a turn. This is, he did this almost every hand he was dealt. He would just put 100, like on this one, he put 110 out there. But normally he was putting 200 or 300 out there, dark and out of turn, and just giving all the action. And he doesn't care. He won a bunch in blackjack. He makes good money in life. He's having fun. He's living his life, right? And he's being hilarious, okay? So he raises out of turn to 110. And now the drunk reg opens to 60 before him. Just absolutely clueless. If someone is raising dark, you know, out of turn, you should only have a limping range. That's it. If you raise in front of them, that's just ridiculous. I don't want to say idiotic, but it's idiotic and it doesn't matter. This guy's buzzed. It's clueless. And so, gets back to me. This guy goes to 60. Nick Rose goes to 110. And it gets back to me, and I've been sitting there playing switch thumb, just, you know, talking and folding. And I go to 440 with 6-4 of hearts, and the drunk reg folds, so I don't know what he was doing. And Nick calls, okay? Flop comes king, queen, jack, one heart. I check, and he snap goes all in for everything. And I fold. I think he showed me queen 6. So he flopped middle pair. I had 6-4. Why was it my worst play? Because fuck, what are you doing, man? You don't have any fold equity preflop against this beast from the UK. So if you're going to try and win that bounty, sure, you can like call the 110, but raising there is horrible, and that's just not putting it together. And so I was, you know, not pleased with that I raised there. And then it's time for a double board bomb pot. So Nick was okay with these dealer changes, and you've already heard about a few of them, and that means I haven't been playing that many hands. Case money, shit. And I flop a set on one of the boards, but I have to fold, and it's correct. And there's just a lot of variance in this game, especially on PLO double board bomb pots. But I'm locked on this night. I'm kind of in mad scientist mode, and I'm just being dealt dog shit. It's true. The dealer's just handing me baggies of dog shit. Every hand saying thanks, here, have it back. I don't want it. Okay. And now I ISO 10-9 of clubs. It's just a good hand. And if I'm playing every hand in a vacuum, I probably don't do that. It was Nick's. He was the 20. I probably just limp, even though it's like, and I don't know. But someone had limped, and I just ISO'd, and I don't know, I thought maybe because I just been folding a lot, it would matter. It doesn't. And Nick's in there, and it comes, the other guy limp folded, it comes king, queen, X with two diamonds and a club. I have a gut shot and a backdoor flush draw. I go ahead and bet, and Nick calls. The turn's a deuce of clubs. I have what's called a combo draw, combination draw. I can hit a jack for a straight or a club for a flush. And so I bet again, and a lot of, you know, Nick knows what he's doing, even though he's been drinking a lot. And that's just the thing in this day and age. People call the flop and then they fold the turn. And, you know, if they don't pick up equity or if they don't bink two pair or whatever. And he calls, and the river's a deuce. And I have to bet again, just small, in case he was drawing the diamonds and can beat my 10 high. He calls. He had ace queen. Fucking patrons, man. They always win my money. Always. And then Nick punted it off too. One of the pros. Good for him. And now it's time for my best play. So I'm not doing very well in this 5-10-20 game at Resorts World. And I have jack nine of clubs. Six ways, 200 each. So that's just what this game is. And guess who put the 200 out there? Nick Rose. He's putting 200 or 300 out there every hand. And so now people are starting to get it, and they're limping, and or, you know, and then his 200 is 200, and then we all call. I have jack nine of clubs. It comes ace, 7-3, and rainbow, and we all check, right? The turn is a nine of hearts, and they check to me, and there's 1,200 in there, and I bet, and the boss lady basically puts me all in. She's on my left. She's this really nice young woman. Like, I thought she was young, but she's retired. I don't know what the fuck. And she's from Canada, and she's out here for a girls' trip, and she's here a night early, and all her girls are coming in. They don't play poker, so she's just gonna get her one night of poker in. She's got fucking 15K in front of her. And anyways, when I bet the turn, she snap makes it a ton. And against a pro or anyone that plays a ton of poker, her timing is picked up a big draw. And so I'm inclined to call off my stack. It folds around to me. But I just get a little twinge that, nope, not everyone is the same. So not everything is reliable. It's not everyone looks down at their cards and quickly opens as an ace, king, or ace, queen. It's just a large percentage of the time, right? And not every time when someone ships here, a large percent of the time, or not ships, but like basically puts me all in, they just picked up a combo draw, right? And that's the rule. I knew this was the exception, and I just was able to figure it out and not stack off with second pair against, she probably had a set. So I was pretty happy with that. And I'll make another good play in case that one didn't make a ton of sense. So I'm losing. I'm not doing very well, and I need to borrow 500. So I'm in for 3,500. My day one's over 3,500, half my action. I'm in for 7K. And it's a bomb pot again. So that means 30 minutes in between all these bomb pots, 30 minutes goes by, and I'm not winning shit. And I flopped the world on both boards. Just big draw. I flop three pair and a straight draw on the bottom, and I flop open-ended and a flush draw on top. It's not the nut, but I call. I was lucky to be the button a lot of bomb pots. And I call, and there's 2,000 in the middle heading to the turn. And the turn doesn't do anything. It's brick on both boards. And I have open-ended plus flush draw up top. And I have three pair and a straight draw on bottom. And I bet 2K. I'm sorry, the pot's bigger than that. The pot is probably 3K. I bet 2K. And Krish makes it 6K. And this is all my money. This is, I borrowed, everything's on the table. It folds back to me. And I got to gamble. I have no choice now. You don't want to end your night this way. And I just know it's the right poker play, but it sucks because, you know, I could be beat. And anyways, he was really light, and I almost scooped. My three pair were, he didn't have any pair on the bottom. My three pair were good, and I bricked up top. And I think he went with ace high or hit an ace. It was just a Krish power play. If you've seen him on Husks and Live, where it's just, this is too small. You make it 2K on the button, I'm going to pounce, even in a bomb pot. And yeah, so it was, I won a little bit. We chopped it, but it was nice to not get stacked. I could have scooped it. That would have been sick. I didn't. Okay. And then I finally did what God put me on this planet to do. I bluffed Nick and the boss lady in the same hand. And you know, I don't know if you saw, what's that shit called? Hope Solo? Free Solo? What the fuck's that shit called? The guy that climbs that huge boulder with no rope? That was impressive. We'll try bluffing Nick Rose on this night. I think it's a little more impressive, and I did it. And he says, I know you have fuck all, but I have to fold. And I just went for it. And I love that. I don't heard fuck all in, you know, forever. And I start ranting about fuck all. I said, yeah, I did have fuck all. I said, yeah, I had fuck all. My life is fuck all. Fuck yeah, I love fuck all. Like, I don't know. I was just ranting a little bit. I was, you know, I felt better about myself. I was kind of playing like a grinder, case money grinder, just folding, because what are you going to do? Like, you got to. And the game, you can't. And I finally found a spot to like play a little poker, and I loved it. Fuck all. I know you don't have fuck all, or I know you have fuck all. I said, I got fuck all after you folded. Yeah, you know I have fuck all. My life is fuck all. I don't know. Hopefully I'll remember to use that. You don't have fuck all. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. You don't like it, Kanye? Figures. Okay. So, it's time to get even. I'm in for 7K total. I have 3,500 in front of me after, you know, winning half of that bomb pot and bluffing Nick and Boss Lady. And I limp King Queen, and Nick does his thing to 200, and people call, and I make it 1,400. That's what I was doing. And the awesome rec called me, and it came Queen 8-4, and he checked. I bet like an inducing amount, and he raised, and I just called, you know, trying to whatever, and the turns of break, and he jammed, and I snapped it off, and my hand was good. I just turned it over. I don't know what he had, but you know, it's Queen 8-4. There's no draws. It was just he was an awesome wreck, and I was limp re-raising anytime I had a good hand, and I was limp calling anytime I had like a playable hand. Genius, but you'd be surprised. This gentleman from across the pond would have 200 out there, and you would see the guy on his right open for 200. And it's just like, what are you doing, man? It's ridiculous. Like, just, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to. It's a great play. So, I have a, you know, just, now I'm in a lot of tough spots. I'm even, but I want to win. I limp with pocket nines. And now Krish goes to 130 in front of Nick's dark 300. And now it's like, what the fuck to do now? Because Krish has something good, and someone calls, and the plan was to repop the 300, but Krish has now opened in front of the 300, and I got to worry about his hand, and he covers everyone in the fucking casino, and shit. So I just call the 300, and Krish calls. It comes Jack 8-3 with two clubs. In this game, pocket nines is a monster. Well, there's 1,200 in the pot, and Krish leads 1,200 into Nick. And, you know, so I just have to fold. And my boy, Nick Rose, made good friends with the chip runner on this night. He had won a bunch playing blackjack, and it was all coming out. And he was just, you know, it's not, I don't know. What are you going to do? It's just, he's having fun. It's his money, his prerogative, whatever. And he's all in pre-flop against the drunk reg, finally traps him or whatever, coolers him. And Nick has queen jack, and the drunk reg has pocket aces and door card ace. And everyone's a little deflated. And then it comes king 10. And shit, Nick flopped a straight. And the board did not pair, and everyone was pretty, they were trying, you know, not to celebrate, you know, but everyone was like, wanted to, you know, give each other high fives. And so now there's 3,000 in the middle, and my man Nick Rose hits runner flush against me. Damn it. And then here's what I was doing a lot. I have ace king, I'll limp the 20, you know, someone else will limp. Nick put as a 200 out before the cards are dealt. And English Pro number one goes to 450 trying to ISO, and someone calls to 450, and I just go to 1700, and they fold. And so I pick up $1,200 right there just for nothing, for having ace king. But yeah, and I did a limp re-raise again with king queen, and this time Boss Lady trapped me. I went to 500, and so he, you know, Nick must have raised smaller, and she went to 2500, and I just got to fold your king queen, and she showed me aces. And then she got Nick, and she has a lot. She got day one, too. She has like 30K in front of her, and I want to double to her. And Nick is just the realest, just pulling out all his money, just talking shit about grinders, and it's pretty fucking sick. And here's an interesting hint. You could call this my best play, too. I need another sip of this fucking wild cherry Diet Pepsi. I'm sorry. Okay, so she looks at her cards, does Boss Lady on my left, and like lifts them up, and I can see she has Queen 8 offsuit. And I could see her cards. I don't know what to do here, and I'm raising, and I raised. I think my man Nick Rose might have been felted at this point, or at the restroom or something. And so it was just kind of, you know, back to normal, just normal good game. And I raise with ace jack, and she calls. I'm like, oh, she didn't care that I could see her. Maybe she thought I was joking. I don't know. It was a little confusing. And my day one calls. I got ace jack. It comes 10-8-7. He checks. Well, I'm inclined to bet again here, or continuation bet. I know this girl's got queen eight and she ain't folding. So I just check. And she checks. Okay. The turn's a king. Okay. Now she can fold her fucking queen eight. And my day one checks. And I bet. And she calls. God damn. She's going to look me up late. Well, my day one overcalls. So it's 10-8-7, king. He's got some sort of draw. And I know she has a pair. But if she just calls on the turn and he folds, I have to shut it down. Whereas this is my favorite thing where I know she's, I can tell he's drawing to something. I'm sure that there was a flush draw out there on the turn. But I know he's drawing, and I got, you know, I'm drawing. I have a double gut shot, and I'm not going to hit that, right? So I'm just already thinking about what to do on the river because it wouldn't be a wise bluff against Bosley. I just bluffed her and Nick with fuck all, you know, not too long ago. She has all the money. My day one tried to bluff her fucking 5,400 on the river. It was pretty bad, and she snapped them off with one pair. But I just know, anyways, the river was a brick, 10-7-8. I have ace jack. Just to rewind this one, I have ace jack, and I already told her I could see her cards, and she calls my raise, and he calls day one. 10-8-7, I'm not betting because she's not folding. And she checks, you know, three ways. Turns a king, double gut shot, and now I could easily have a king. She should be folding that queen eight, you would think. And so I bet she calls. And I realize she's just in sticky mode. She's winning all the money, and she ain't folding. But then my day one has a draw because he calls behind, and you know he doesn't have to disguise it against most players. But I know he has a draw. He just does. Or the overcall, he just does, right? He had just bluffed off a ton, so he's kind of in passive mode a little bit, and. So I'm going to use him as leverage to get her the fuck out on the river when the river's a brick. And the river's a brick, and I just straighten up my chair. I do the shit people do, and they have a really good hand. And I value bomb. That means I bomb, but I don't, like, overbet or anything. I bet, like, 80% of the pot, and they both fold. And then my man Whale sits down. And his name is Whale, W-A-E-L. And he's giant. And he's, I don't know what he is, Egyptian. He's hilarious. And I got up to use the restroom myself, and I came back and posted, and he raised, and I defended with 9-3 offsuit. That's not the best hand. And it came queen 9 deuce, and I bet, and he called, and the turn was an ace, and I checked, and he bet, and I didn't believe him, and I called. The river's a jack. I have 9-3, queen 9 deuce, ace jack. I check, he bets again. I think about folding just because my hand's so bad. Queen, nine, deuce, ace, jack. I have 9-3 offsuit, but I just, something about it. It's just a fucking mad scientist shit. It's just, I just know. I get a twinge. No, your hand's good. I call. He says you're good. I turn it over. The game fucking breaks. Chickens. And I played for 5 hours. And I won a 4-runner. But I only had half of myself. So I won a 2-runner, I guess. So I won more than I lost the night before, but net, I did not. I won half of what I won. Whatever. You know what I mean? So let's check the scoreboard, and then we'll get you guys out of here. And it's the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check after week 9. So if we get to 2023 points on this thing, by the deadline, the end, whatever, I think it's December 20th of this year, there'll be a season 6 of Sessions. And I think that's kind of cool. And, you know, in case it happens, I'm already starting to think of intro and outro music. Yeah, it's true. So let's check it out. Hours, I played 14 this week. So session 25, 26, and 27. I played 14. My quota is 15. But so my quota for the year after 9 weeks? Shit, we're already 9 weeks in? I should have 135 hours. I have 132. Not a big deal. I'm 3 hours off pace. I can always make that up, hopefully. And I'm trying to get to 750 hours this year. Be a lot for a man as busy as I am. I do a lot of shit. I do an awful lot of shit, including parent and yeah. So let's check the next line. W's. Well, I got two losses and one win. I lost the first two sessions of this week. I lost session 25 and session 26. Session 25, I barely lost because I spite four bet my last hand when I was winning and had to fold to a jam at the Venetian. It was just a tune up. And then I got whacked at the Bellagio. I lost with aces against kings, but I was drinking. So you just kind of like, what? Am I the worst player ever? I don't know. Aces is a good hand. And anyways, it was nice to bounce back with a win here. Not as big as it could have been if I hadn't, you know, mismanaged my money my whole life, but that's not the story. So I get minus 5 points on this line. So the goal is to win 2 out of 3 sessions. And so after week 9, you know, you get 5 points for every win. You lose 5 points for every loss. So if you win 2 and lose 1 every week, you get 5 points, and that would be 45 points after week 9. I got 55 because I've won slightly more than 2 out of 3, and I'm trying to get to 250 points here. And I'm 19 wins and 8 losses on the year after week 9. And, you know, it's a good – I was thinking it's – I played my C game for these first 27 sessions. I did, like – I might even, I played my C game overall, and that's nice to win that many. And I'm going to shift to my B game because I'm going to be playing on stake. And you may be wondering, why won't you play your A game? You play your A game, you don't get action. You play your B game when you're really trying to win. And, you know, you got to entertain, you got to spew at times. At least I do, you know, it's just the way it is. And I only play my A game in the main event where, you know, except for the day 3 when I didn't sleep, but I play that because the players can't leave the fucking main event. So go ahead and play your A game. Like, it's not, poker's not a soft hustle in the main event. So at that point, it's a fucking competition. And that's why those tournament players fucking tank for 10 minutes and have their stare and do all that horrible shit. Well, the only horrible thing I do is play my A game. And I would never play it outside the main event unless, like, someone was challenging me to a heads-up match. Then maybe I would if they would keep playing. But anyways, I played my C game for the first 27 sessions. Did pretty well. And whatever, I'm going to shift to my B game because I'm going to be playing on stake moving forward. And let's check out the Patrons line. Shorts signed up. Shorts. So that's 4 points. And then two people deleted on the day. I put a message out on Twitter that I had reached 400 patrons, and I was very proud and grateful and all that. And two people immediately deleted. Maybe they realized, wait, this guy, they looked at, oh, this guy's making, you know, pretty good money now. I don't need to be supporting him anymore. I mean, we're not there yet. I'm still in debt, still scraping by, still, you know, not sleeping well and all that. But it's getting towards people just being at the tiers they want to be at, you know, for the perks in the community. And anyways, these two people were tier one. That's 422 a month. Lost two of them. It hurts my, you know, I'm sensitive. So I cry each time, but that's okay. Go ahead and cancel if you want to. And then Robert signed up. Kathleen signed up. Arnold signed up. Foo signed up. Jacob signed up. Josh signed up. Holy shit. 6 signups, that's 24 points. Get 4 points for every patron you add. Lose 4 points for everyone that goes away. And then Meatball and Tahoe Key came in as double straddlers. 1688 a month. So just to recap, 422 a month, you get all the content. You get what we're probably approaching 900 hours of spew. You get all my other podcasts, my mental health podcast. You get every drop of sessions, and you also get a forum. It's like 2+2, but it's private, and no fucking nits allowed. And then in the next tier up, 844, you get Slack, which is basically social media, same thing, no nits. And people love Slack. They're on there all day long, and that's cool, and you can arrange meetups. Hey, anyone want to go meet me here tonight? And people do this all the time. Oh yeah, I'm going to the Hustler. Let's go play. Let's go have dinner. Let's go have drinks, whatever. And then at 1688, you get, you know, each tier you get more stuff. And this is where you get to play poker essentially rake free. There's rake because you have to have rake in the thing we use, but I don't take any of it. It's illegal. I don't want any of it. I want to give it back to the players. And I have some amazing people helping me run the DGAF home games, and none of us make a penny off of it. And we just, we pay, you know, the app we use, and anything left over, we put in a pool to put people in tournaments. And last year we put Check Raise Charles in the main event. And everyone at 1688 for a certain amount of months had a share of him, whether, you know, depending how long they'd been there, and he cashed. So basically everyone at 1688 last year just about had all their pledges paid for by this. And Check Raise Charles profited a bunch from being a patron, and he just like went one level beyond min cash. So yeah, that's the most plus EV tier is the 1688. And I appreciate it, Meatball, Tahu Key, and all those other people I listed. And then Shorts gave me a raise to 844. So Shorts wanted to be on Slack. And then Dan gave me a raise to 1688. Dan wanted to be in the plus EV one. And yeah, people play poker. It's, you know, not usually too high stakes. And there's a tournament every week that the top 10 point getters get extra shares in the main event. And you know, the top point getter plays the main event and has 25% of themselves. And anyway, and two people fixed their cards. So we netted nine patrons. That's 9 times 4 is 36. Right, sound guy? You don't know? Yeah. Kanye, right? Okay. 36 points. It's pretty sick. So I got to a plateau or a threshold I really was proud of and grateful for. The 400 immediately went down because a couple people canceled, and then it was a turn of the month and a bunch of declined cards. So still off the high point, but a nice bounce back. And we're crushing this one on the scoreboard. The pace right now is 108 points, and we have 176. And good. I want to blow this one out of the water. And the next line is Poker Rags. And Poker Rags is doing okay. It's selling stuff for Hustle Casino Live, for High Stakes Poker Productions, and the different people on Team Poker Rags and our brands, you know, Straddle and Puncher and all that stuff. But if you want to put points on this scoreboard under Poker Rags, you got to order off my page, which has tons of designs, just many, many designs. And one person ordered one thing, and that was Patron Alex Banana. Man, this kid, longtime patron, longtime Poker Rags customer, fucking golf hustler, just a really fucking cool young Armenian kid. Thank you, Alex Banana. And so it's 1 point. I'm slacking on this. I'm not pushing it. I just don't have any time, but that's okay. So 26 points on the year. The pace is 76. We're way behind, 50 points behind. Anyways, let's check to see how we're doing overall. I want this podcast to keep going on every year, and I want it to change slightly every year. I know it's going to have different cover art, different intro, outro, but I want the format to change a little bit. I think people like this where there's poker every single drop, there's story every single drop, and every third drop there's this scoreboard check. I think this is a good one, but I have a feeling I'll want it to be slightly different next year if we do it, and we got to get to 2023 points. I have to justify, like, that I never sleep or do anything fun. I just work. Like, it's St. Patrick's Day, 10:48 p.m. I'm just working, and I'm going to work after this, too. And then tomorrow I'm going to work. And it's fine. I'm not trying to complain at all. It's the grind. But you got to justify your grind. And we have. We did last year, first year with the scoreboard. Anyways, the pace right now after 9 weeks is 364 points. We got 389 points. So we're 25 points ahead. And we definitely have a sweat. One bad week, if I lose, you know, three sessions, that's going to be minus 15 right there. And yeah, so we got a sweat. And I guess that's the way it goes. And thank you to everyone who's put points on the board this year. And moving forward, I'm going to be a staked man. Okay, peace. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.